Okay, Rabbi, so today's daf is daf Chav Gimel, and we're holding three lines from the bottom of Chav Beis Amid Beis. As you recall, yesterday in the Mishnah, we learned about the inyan of Mugmer, about putting Mugmer incense on the Gecholim, on the coals, so that it should make a nice ear freshener. Now the Gemara talks about a similar inyan. Rashi says la'ashen means to take fruit and to smoke the fruit to give them a special tam. Probably something similar to those of us that like to eat lox and or sable. You have smoked fish. Here you have smoked fruits. Question is, can you do that on yontif? So the Gemara says machloikis. Rav Yirmiyahu ba'Abba Amar Rav Osir, Shmuel Amar Mutter. Rav Huna Omar Osur, like Rav. Rav Huna was a Talmud of Rav. What's the reason why it's also a Nesha Mechaba? Mechaba means that when you go and put the incense on top of the coals, for the first few seconds, the coals dim and they become almost extinguished. Of course, a few seconds later, as a result of the fact that the incense has now started to burn, in fact, then the flames of the fire are going to flacker. They're going to, in fact, become even stronger and stronger. But at least initially, there is this kibuy effect. Why are you talking about the fact that initially it gets kind of extinguished or dimmed? Why don't you talk about the fact that after that, sebrant, it's a burning fire? And Rashi says, really, both of them are present, both kibui initially and after that havara, and he chaps on the first one because that's the first action that takes place after you put the incense on top of the hot coals. Om Rav Yehuda, al gabi gacheles osir. If you were to put that mugma on top of the coals like we spoke, that would be osir. Why? Because as Rashi have the kibui effect that at least initially it becomes partially extinguished, and then after that the fire really roars, so that's the havara, that's mavi. Top of the amud, al gabi cheres, if instead of putting it on hot coals, you go and put this incense on hot earthenware, now how did the earthenware get hot, says Rashi, shehesikoy, you heated up the earthenware, so it's now it's red hot, but it's not fire, it's just it's very hot. What's the din? Then it's mutter. Why is it mutter? It says Rashi, there won't be any kibui. It's not going to cause any fire to go out. There is no fire to put out. Aye, there's going to be havara as a result of this red hot earthenware. Then this incense will eventually start burning and smoking and all the rest. So don't I have havara? It says Rashi at the top, that's going to be havara al yedei shinoi, which is kalach riyad. There's no issa d'oraisa. And since it involves food on Yontif, it'll be mutter. Rabba Omar al gabi cheres nami osir. Why mishum dekam moilid reicha? You're creating something new. You're being moilid reich. Rashi doesn't tell us which one of the melachos it is. Rashi says it's similar to a melacha chadosha. If you look at the second Rashi from the top of the Amud, moilid reicha, shenichnas becheres shaloi hoyu boi reich. What happened as a result of putting the incense on this hot cheres? Now reich is going to be created. It's going to go into the cheres. V'osim edarbanan shamoilid dover chadosh koreif hu laoisem melacha chadosha. Again, Rashi doesn't say exactly what malacha are we talking about. We're not talking about a malacha of a psbona. We're not talking about a malacha of a makiv a patish or anything like that, because there really is no malacha of creating a reyach. And in fact, Barry will always remind us that koil marav a reyach in by mamish. So, Bazoi, what are you doing? But Rashi says that koroi v'ois malacha chadosh, and therefore says Rabbi, it's osir mid rabban. Now, yes, Barry, what do you want to say? Barry, you're off mute. You want to say something?
No, I was wondering why is there a problem even on top of gecholim if you're cooking it, you're smoking it, you're cooking it, it's ochel nefesh. What's the difficulty?
Oh, I thank you for bringing that to my attention. You're 100% right. What is the machloikis then between Rav and Shmuel? Why does Rav say it's osir? Why does Shmuel say it's mutter? So Rav says that the reason why it's osir is because It's not a dover hashava l'chol nefesh. It's only for mifunakim, only for those people that are particular and that want to have smoked fruits. The average individual, for instance, Rashi says, aniyim have no need for smoked fruits. This is only for the aristocracy, for the nobility, for people that want to waste their money, and therefore this is not dover hashava l'chol nefesh, and therefore it doesn't go within the klal of achashi ochel l'chol nefesh hu levadi yosel lechem. That's Rav's for it. What does Shmuel say? Shmuel says, no. Even the aniyim would love to have smoked fruit. They don't always have it matzui lehem. When they go into their... Yeah, very good. Thank you, David. When they go into their stores, they often cannot find it, because this was a delicacy for the aristocracy. But even the aniyim would like to eat it. Look back on the Chav Beis Amud Beis in the Rashi. Rashi starts off 5 lines from the bottom. Maul Ashen, Chav Beis Amud Beis, 5 lines from the bottom. Maul Ashen, Peters, Ba'ashen, Psamim, Likloit, Tam, Habboisim. Is this permissible? Says Rav, Osir, the Tifnik Yaseru. The word Tifnik from the word Mifunak, only for the finicky, delicate type of people. The Ein Shavuot Chol Nefesh, El Isnes. Therefore, Bahai Osir, Ikam Malacha. But if you go to the next Rashi, Ushmul Amma Mutter, Toichel Nefeshu, Vroi Afla Niyem, El Shein Motzelehem. They would love to be able to eat smoked fruit. They look forward to going to a fancy chasana of Ashirim where they can go and get smoked fruit. Normally they don't have it. But it's similar to a person who gets venison. I don't eat venison every day of the week, perhaps because it's too expensive, or perhaps they just don't sell it. If I get it once in a while, I say, oh, this venison, raw, that really is delicious. So you see that it's considered to be dabar shavu l'chol nefesh, even though it is not motzui on a daily basis. Okay, so I hope that responds to your question. That's why there's a machloikis rab in Shmuel Yotzenish.
And this is outside the klal of mitoich.
Right. Mitoich is always b'sham v'selul, but you don't find b'sham.
No, it doesn't. It's not shavu l'chol nefesh. Also, it does not go into the klal of mitoich. But then, even though it's not oichel nefesh, it's mitoich shemuter. But it has to be
But it has to be shavu l'chol nefesh.
It has to be shavu l'chol nefesh.
Exactly. It's only more vaiter. Second line from the top of Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. Rabbi Rav Yosef Amr Tavai. Sechufei kasa ashiroi b'yoy metova osir. Kasa means a kois. Sechufei means to turn over a kois which has in it pesamim, which is, smells beautifully inside the kois. The reason why you're turning it over, you're putting it onto shiroi. Those are fabrics, those are clothing, and the purpose of that is because you want that some of the beautiful scent and aroma which is in the kois to go and spread into those begotten. So we're not doing it in the form of, like we had in the Gemara yesterday, legamer, to go and put incense on top of flames or on top of coals so that smoke would come up and would give a beautiful scent to clothing. Here we're talking about the scent which is already inside the cup, which I'm turning over, and that scent, it's something similar to what we had yesterday with the Ardiskois Shel Barzel, that you had these metal boxes that from Erev Yontif you fill them up with smoke, and then afterwards you stuff them, and then you open them up on Yontif morning and the smoke came out. So it's a similar type of concept, that you have a kos which is already mevusam, it has in it some sort of perfume, some sort of incense, you turn it over, you put it on your brand new baguette, and then after that you turn it over again, and presto, the beged has a beautiful scent. That is osir, says Imar. Why is that osir? My time, mishim the kamoyved reicha, because you're creating new reich, just like the Gemara said a moment ago, that even al gabi cheres, you're creating reicha, and Rashi is struggling to figure out what is the malacha. It's korev hu lois malacha chadosh. It's midrabanan. You're making something new. It's creating. It's ashtiku binyan midrabanan. So you're creating new reyach. And says the Gemara, therefore, that it's aser. What happens if, for instance, you were to take one of the minei psamim? Matzah Shabbos, when we make Havdalah, we have, most people use those cloves inside the bottles. What happens if you take off one of those cloves and memoilai, and you do melila between your fingers? You remember a few days ago we had melila by the kernels of wheat. Here we're doing melila with one of these atzei pesamim, and as a result of going and rubbing it back and forth, some of the reich comes out, you smell it, oh, it smells great. Or for that matter, koitmai, what happens if you go and cut the top of one of those atzei besam, cut off the heads, so to speak, and you smell it. Don't you have then also a molded reich issue? Is that also prohibited? Says you, no. Hasim reicha mia isa. Vaisufi hu dekamoisif reicha. Hach iludi hu dekamoilid reicha. There, all you're doing is you're unleashing the reich that was already there inside the psamim by cutting it or by putting it between your fingers and rubbing it, but you're not creating new reich. The reich was just inside. This is closer to the ardiskois situation where the reich is already there. You're just freeing it. Mashenkin here, you're taking the kois which had the reich, but by putting it onto the beged, you're creating new reich in the beged. Creating new reich in the beged, that's the moided reicha, which is awesome midrapan. Anyway, the discussion at the top of the Amid was the Gabi the Cheres, because the Gemara said on the Amid Beis that Al Gabi Gacheles, it's certainly Asur because of Kiboy and Havara. However, Rava Omer Al Gabi Gacheles Nami Mutter, you're even allowed to go and do it Lechatchila on the putting the incense on top of Gecholim, even though you'll have this Reach coming up and being Ma'ashin as a Peiris, smoking out the fruit. It's mut. Midahava bisra gumri. It's no different than when you put the basar, meaning the meat, on top of hot cold. Here you're putting the fruit on top of hot cold. What difference does it make between the fruit getting the benefit of that beautiful aroma, the beautiful scent, and the meat getting that same type of scent? And Rashi says it's not only the meat, but even the gecholim are going to get the scent from the meat. It's not, I don't see the problem over here, says Rava. Dorish Rav Gevi mi beksil a pischa de bei reish chalusa. Rav Gevi'a gave a shir, and he was teaching ketura ishari. The word ketura is a little bit of a mystery, but at the moment he's saying ketura is mutter. Amalei ameimer my ketura. What does the word ketura mean? I ketura biyode masa umenu the ila ashen aser da'akam mechaber. The word ketura, says the Gemara, could have two possible definitions. One, that it's a lashon of kesher, and the ketura means that you are somehow making ties, if you will, in a beged. So Rashi describes what he means with this biyadi masa umenhu. It means that you are going and ironing for instance, a pair of pants or some other beged, and the purpose is to make creases or to make folds, like making cuffs in the pants or in a dress or whatever beged that you are ironing. Why that is considered to be a kesher, it's supposed to tie down, is not absolutely clear. The article suggests that perhaps in the ironing process, to keep the beged in place, they would go and tie it down on the ironing board, and then they would go and iron to make sure that all the creases and the folds and the cuffs would come out exactly with the right proportions and the right shape, the way you want to do it. So if that's the definition of the word ketura, that we mean kasher, then that's a maisa umanhu. That's exactly what a professional would do, and the chor, that should be osur on yontif. That's not something amateurish. That should be an issa deraisa. You're making a kasher, and you're going and ironing. The ila ashen, if you're talking about the ashen, meaning to go and smoke from the lashon ketores, then osur dokam mechaba. Don't we have the issue that we spoke about on the Amid Beis, that when you put that on the gacheles, you put it on the coals, first it dims and extinguishes the fire somewhat, then after that it's mavir, and then it starts flackering, it becomes a real flame, a full flamed fire. So either way it should be osur. By the way, as an aside, when the Gemara has a shaila what this ketura means, so when I was learning this with my son Ben Tzion last night, he reminded us that Rashi and Chumash on ketura, Legabi Avram Avinu, that he took ketura, Rashi says the same two pshatim over there, that ketura was originally Hagar, and that she had tied herself down below, and didn't allow her to, she wouldn't allow any other men to live with her, so that was Lashon of Keturah from Kesha, or that her maisim were beautiful like Ketores, that Ketores went up. So you see those two pshatim in that Rashi too, speaking about the Keturah by Hagar, by Avram Avinu. But anyway, beginning back to our Gemara, so how did Rav Gvia darshan that it's mutter? Amalei Rav Ashi li oilam li ashe. We mean the second pshat. Ashe means to make the peiros have this wonderful aroma by smoking them. Like we just said, when you put the basar agumri on top of the gicholim, what happens with the basar? It is now roasting in a very nice way. And Rashi says in the middle of the omit, Bisra Gumri, Moilid Nami Reach Bepchamin, by going and putting this piece of meat, a nice rib steak, on top of the Gumri, on top of the coals, guess what? After that, you smell the coals, there's also a Reach coming up from the rib steak that's roasting. In fact, a lot of people, they go into the store, they smell it, oh, such a wonderful aroma, I want to buy a rib steak, I want to, please order that for me for the restaurant. The point is, that also is molded reach, and that's mutter. So here you're being molded reach in the peiros, is also mutter. No difference, says Rav Ashi and Rav Gvir. Ikri Amri, there was another version of the story, almost the same. What's the definition of the word ketura? We're talking about ketura, that you're making these nice creases and folds in the clothing, and the word ketura therefore means kesher. Mas umano, that's what chayush should certainly be aser if you're making a kesher. Kesher is one of the lamites malachas. Ili ashen, it should be asur to kamoy the reichas. Now this is the only difference between this version and the earlier version. If you go back five lines, there it said be ili ashen asur to hakam machabe. He's doing a maisa kiboy, extinguishing the cold, and then a maisa havara, he's causing the cold to burn once again with nice strong flames. Here he's saying that the reason why the ashen is also to come moided reicha, he's being moided reich. What's enough gemina between the first lashon and the second lashon? So you remember Rashi said before kibui and avara, these are isurim di oiraisa, these are among the lamites malachas. Here moided reicha, says Rashi, is drabonon because it's koroiv liois malacha chadosh. But either way, if you're telling me it means laashen lechayit, it's asur, and you're telling me ketura is mutter. And again, the same teretz as before. Amr Ravashi, Anu Amrita Nile, Umishmei Degav Rabba Amrita Nile. I already said this halacha previously that ketura is mutter. Li oilam li ashen. Umida Dehava Bisar Gumri. It's no different that when you put your rib steak on the gecholim, everybody agrees you're allowed to do that on Yontif. So you're allowed to go and put the fruits not directly on the gecholim, but have them suspended in mid-air, go and put on the incense on the gecholim, it's going to be molded reyach and make a nice aroma, that aroma is going to smoke the fruits, and the fruits will have a delicious taste, and everybody will be standing in line to eat these delicious smoked fruit. So, bottom line is, we started off with the shayla ibayilu mala ashein, and the Gemara concluded that it's a machloikis, whether it's mutter or aser, and according to those that it's aser, is a shayla whether it's aser min ha-toira, because of momentary kiboy and subsequent havara, so therefore you have two isurim de'araisa, or whether it's because it's moeder reicha, and that's the problem, which is an isur drabban. And then we return to our Mishnah, where the Mishnah said, as you will recall, that in three halachas, Ram Gamliel was mekel, and one of them was to make a gedi mikulas belele psachim. A gedi mikulas means to go and put together a full-fledged goat, kid goat, like Chad Gadya, Gidi, and instead of just cutting it up in pieces and roasting it in the oven, or roasting it on coals, what they did was they left it as a full-fledged animal, of course, after they had removed all of the innards and checked out the lungs and the heart and all the rest, and then whatever things are mutter, they put it back on the sides of the gdi as it was roasting, and that they were mekayim with that, what it says about the Korban Pesach, that al toichlu mimenu na uvoshel mevushel b'moyim ki em tzliyesh roishoy al kro'ov v'al kirbay, which means the whole body with the and those entrails which are permissible to eat, and the wings, not really the wings, but the sides and the flanks, all on the side. They'll have like a Thanksgiving Day dinner where you see that they take a full turkey and they roast it all at once. So they roasted all this gedi all at once. And this was as azeich l'chorben, like they did in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, when they took the Korban Pesach and they roasted it in that fashion. The reason why it's called mikulas, Rashi explained, because it looks like a soldier going out to war with his weapons on the side. Here too you had the whole gedi, and you had the kirboi ukra of on the side, meaning the innards, those the permissible innards, not the chalovim chas v'shalom, as well as the legs. Everything was on the side, so it looks like a warrior with its weapons. They permitted that. However, that Sir Gamliel permitted, as we'll see in the Braisa, the Chachamim were not impressed. Tanya Rabbi Yossi Oimer Toidos Ish Roimi, Toidos who was in Rome, Himigas Bnei Roimi Lechol Gidim Akudus Bnei Lutzachim. In fact, he instituted a minhag that that's the way everybody should prepare it. His intentions were obviously totally pure. The reason why he did that is because he wanted people to remember Zeichel HaMikdash, not Zeichel HaMikdash Kehillel, but Zeichel HaMikdash Keram Gamliel or Ketoidois. This is the way we ate the Karban Pesach at the times of the Beis Hamikdash. However, the Chacham said to him, Shol Chulei, El Moli Toidus At, if it wasn't for the fact that you are Toidus, Rashi says, Chacham Godol V'Nichbad, he was considered to be an outstanding scholar and a very, very distinguished member of the community. If it wasn't for that, because Ran Olecha, neither we would put you in Chayrim. She'ata Machlis V'nei Yisrael Kachim B'chut, you're giving people to eat Kachim outside the Beis HaMikdash, Chut Echot. Terrible Issa. Fake Gemara. Kachim, look at that. What's for a Kachim? We're talking about that they bought this animal in the store, they shechted it, they went to the shlachtos, and then they just roasted all at once. We're not talking about kachim. Nobody was makdish anything. El eimak en kachim. Anybody who sees it will say, oh, you see, you know why Todas did that? I'm sure he must have been makdish this animal, l'shem kedushas korban pesach, and even though there's no beis hamikdash, I don't care. I'm going to go and shecht it. I want to go and be mekayim the din of Karban Pesach, even without a beis hamikdash. That, of course, is real bona fide shchut echot, which is an isser in the Torah, an isser sheyesh by karis. Says our Gemara, since it has that appearance, it looks like kachim, no good. I don't want people to chas v'shalom go and make mistakes. Rashi says, horoya oimer huktishu lepesach, a person, a Jewish observer, an observant Jew, will say, hey, can you imagine they having Karban Pesach outside the Beis HaMikdash? So because of that, they said, stop it. Don't make the Gidi Mekulis any longer. So since we spoke about Ram Gamliel was Machmer in three ways, and he was Meikel in three ways, we leave Ram Gamliel and we're on to Reb Elazar ben Azariah. Three things Reb Elazar ben Azariah was matir, and the Chachamim said it's awesome. The three things are: number one, parasa yoitza biritzua shebein karneha. He allowed his para, a para being a cow, to go outside in the street on Shabbos with a ritzua, some sort of strap, strapped between its kanayim, between its horns. What's the problem? Says Rashi, because it's a masui the einoy tachshila. Although Reb Elazar ben Azariah is, well, Reb Elazar ben Azariah was matir because he felt that this was lenoy. This just made the parah look more presentable, make it more marketable, make it look nicer, prettier, putting up this nice little bendela, a strap between the kanayim. However, the rabbis were upset, as we'll see in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, Chachamim Oisrim, because they felt that this was not the norm, and therefore it's only a masoi, it's not a tachshit, it's like anything else on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, especially on Shabbos, something which is a tachshit, and or it's a malbush, of course you're allowed to wear. But anything which is just a masoi, you're not allowed to wear. And they said, this is considered to be a masoi. Machloik is Reb Elazar ben Azariah and the Chacham. So Zokti Yimar, Zokti Mishnah Nachlo. Shloish is Varim Reb Elazar Matir, Chacham Oysen. Number one, Parasi Yoytze Bitu Shebein Kanyal. Number two, Mekardin Esa Behema Biyontif. They used to be Mekardin. Mekardin means that they used to go and comb the animals on Yontif. And the problem with the combing is that sometimes it would make a chabura. Chabura means it would make a wound in the animal. And specifically the mekardim, if you look at the Rashi, which is parallel to our Mishnah, umekardim, megareres shel barzel, they would use a comb made out of metal, sheshineo hadakois, which had small teeth, the avagab, the ovet chabura. He would allow it even though it made a chabura. And Rashi says down below that it wasn't a psik resha, that it always made a chabura, but that often it made a chabura. Why was Reb Elazar ben Azariah matir? Obviously, you're not allowed to make a chabura on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. Making a chabura, the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, could be a tolda of tzaveyah, you're making you're dyeing something by making the chabura, the red blood comes up and it's dyeing the skin, or also it could be a tolda of shochet, of shechting, where you're also, here it's not a full-fledged shechting, it's like a minor shechting, you're making chabura. Barry, I see you have that look of consternation. Do you have any questions? No, you're happy. Baruch Hashem. So give a smile. We're learning a shmaki gemara. Anyway, so the Mishnah says that Reb Elazar ben Azariah was matir the mekardim this combing with the metal comb. However, the chachamim asserted, and we'll see why in another moment. Number three was the shorkin esem papilim or papalpilin berechaim shalehen. He also permitted going and doing shchika. Shchika means to go and pound, and therefore grind the pilpil, the pepper, in their own rechaim, in their own milt. Now, why is he saying in their own milt? What is this referring to? You'll recall early on in the Masechta, we had a machloikis, I think it was Taf Yedalit, and a machloikis in the Mishnah about whether you're allowed to, if you look back on Yedalit Amid Aleph, in the top Mishnah, Beishami Omrim Tavlen Nidoichen Ben Modach Shal Eitz Va Melach Ve Pach Ube Eitz Apar Ubeisil Omrim Tavlen Nidoichen Kedarkon the mother shall have it. Vamelach, the mother shall eat. So he said that tavlin, you are allowed to go and grind and pound even on yontif. However, you have to make a shinoi. Well, Beisil said that, and Beishamai said even melach, even salt, you have to make a shinoi. Well, Beisil said no, on tavlin you don't have to make any shinoi. Only on the melach you have to make a shinoi. And the Gemara asked, what's the difference between melach and between tavlin? Tavlin are spices, seasonings, and melach is salt. So the Gemara said two reasons. Both reasons are, bottom line, you should have pounded and ground the salt from Erev Yontif. And therefore, if you do an Erev Yontif, why are you doing it on Yontif? It's machshiri oichel nefesh that you could have done an Erev Yontif. So then the question is, well, the spices you could also have done Erev Yontif. And the Gemara said, two reasons why I have no taina on the spices. Number one, because every food that a person cooks on Yontif, regardless whether you're talking about fish or flesh or chulent or kugel or whatever, you always need salt. So the person should have thought about pounding the salt from Erev Yontif. While seasonings, not every stew or everything that you're cooking requires paprika or garlic powder or whatever your spices that you're using. Some require it to be more sweet and some require it to be more spicy, and it depends on your taste buds and it depends on what you're cooking. You don't put in the same spices into your gefilte fish that you put into your roast beef. So therefore, there's no taina about the fact that you didn't do the tavlin, you didn't know which tavlin. Or the other reason the Gemara gave is because tavlin mefigin taman, which means that if you go and pound them the day before Yontif, it's going to lose some of its spice. Mashen kein salt remains forever. So says the Gemara, they have the same type of kavanah over here, that you have the pilpul, that you're allowed to go and pound and grind the pilpul on Yontif, because, number one, you didn't know that you were going to need it. Not all things that you cook require pilpul, require pepper. And even if you did know, presumably the pepper's effect would be lost after 24 hours. So you're allowed to go and do the shchikas samamonim, the shchikas pilpulin on Yontif. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. So now Rabbi Yehuda goes and comments on the inyan of the kirud. And remember, the kirud means that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah allowed for going and combing the animal with such a metal comb. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ein mekardin es habehema b'yontem neisha oisa chabura. Rabbi Yehuda respectfully disagrees and he says, no, you're not allowed to do kirud. Avol mekardzvin, but you're allowed to do kirtzuf. What is the difference between kirud and kirtzuf? So says Rashi, again, parallel to our Gemara, mikartzvin min megareres shel eitz, you're allowed to go and use a comb made out of wood, shishineo gasis, which has larger teeth, the ein oisa chabur. So the difference between kirud and kirtzuf are two. Number one, kirud, you're using a metal comb, and kirtzuf, you're using a wooden comb. And number two, the metal comb had smaller teeth and therefore was more likely to make a chabura than the wooden comb, which had larger teeth and typically did not make a chabura. And so therefore, kirud is aser, kirtzuf is mutter. The chachamim oimrim, ein mekarden, afloy mekartzevin, both of them are aser. And as the Gemara will tell us, there's a three-way machlokes. According to Blaz ben Azar, you're allowed to do both kirud and kirtzuf. According to the Chachamim, you're not allowed to do kirud or kirtzuf. And then we have Rabbi Huda, who's the Yavi HaKosav HaShlishi V'Yachriya Beinayim, and he says kirud is asur, kirtzuf is mutter. What are the svaris? We'll see Meachem in the Gemara in another minute or two. First, we go back to the case of the parah. We said that Rabbi Blaz ben Azariah's parah would go out per tzua shebein karnea. So it sounds like he only had one or two parais, and that beautiful parah he would allow to walk out in the streets on Shabbos with a ritzua, and the chachamim were upset because it's a form of carry. Are you telling Rabbi Blaz ben Azariah only owned one para altogether? The Omer Rav, Yamila Omer Rav Yud Omer Rav. Tleiser Alfei Egli Have Maaser Rabbi Blaz ben Azariah May Edrei Kol Shata B'Shata. Rabbi Blaz ben Azariah was one of the wealthiest Jews in history. On an annual basis, he would go and give Maaser Behema 13,000 brand new agolim, brand new calves. That means that he had born to his flock 130,000 new agolim, 130,000, of which he gave 10%, Maaser Behema, 13,000. So, if you have 130,000 new animals, new calves that were born, and by a Behema Gas, I believe it's a 9-month gestation, just like a pregnancy by a lady, so therefore there have to be at least 130,000 mommies to produce 130,000 new calves. And if that's the case, wow, that's a huge amount. And of course, you have to have the male mates as well. So you have to have 130,000 male cows. So you add all of these oxen and all these cows, this is a huge amount. So Blaz ben Azariah only had one para going out with the ritzua, presumably had a whole procession, a whole parade of hundreds, if not thousands, of these paras going out. What's the Lashon parasoi?
What is it? It's par is actually being karnayim. It's a par. I don't quite understand the notion.
Yeah. So Rabbi Tzia is pointing out, Lechori, there's an inconsistency here, whether it's a male or a female. Par sounds like it's a female, but the fact that it's being karnayim sounds like it's a male.
I don't know.
It's a good question. Maybe it's not real karnayim. It's more the ears. I don't know. Maybe it's more little protrusions. I'm not that familiar with cows and with oxen, but you got a point. Anyway, so the Gemara tells us that Tana loy shaloi, we said, yeah, Master, we're going to call Shana Shalta. Tana loy shaloi ha'isa el shoshchentoi ha'isa. The truth of the matter is, this part didn't even belong to Blaz ben Azariah. It belonged to his shchenta, meaning to his lady neighbor. And she would allow her part to go out every single Shabbos with that ritzua shebein karneha l'noi. U'matoy shaloi micha, but because Blaz ben Azariah didn't take a stand, he didn't call her up and say, Mrs. Sprinzer, I have to go and tell you that unfortunately what you're doing is a shaila of an isser, because you're carrying on Shabbos by having this, and you're not carrying, but the animal is carrying. So then you have an isser of mechamer, or you have an isser of the animal doing some work on Shabbos. So I think because of that, nikras al shemay. So it wasn't really his parah, it's the fact that he allowed it and he didn't go and make a macham. Macham doesn't mean necessarily you put up huge placards in Meish Arim saying, Isser Chomer, no. He could have spoken nicely to the Shechentz and said, explain to her, you know, Mrs. Smith, you know, Shabbos, you know. No. Since he didn't say anything, it's as if he's guilty. Yeah.
He was Mekayim Divrei Chaveroi.
Oh. Very good. You have to be moicha, but you have to go, and at least as a din of arvus, you have to give teichocha.
I mean, the rabbim, he's a das shachid, and he was not mekayim divrei chachamim. That's the time.
Okay, good. Fine. Shkoyach, Rabbitzin. No, you're doing beautifully. So now we're getting back to the kirud and the kirtzuf, and remember, we distinguish between one and the other. Now the Gemara is explaining what we already went through in the Mishnah. Mekayim is the main yontif toner of Ezeo kirud, beizeo kirtzuf. What's the difference between the two? Kirud is ketanim. Remember Rashi said it's not only ketanim, it's also a metal comb, but besides it has small teeth. Voisel chabura, and they typically make a chabura. Now Rashi says it's not that they always make a chabura, because they always make a chabura, that's a psikresha. Then everybody would agree that it's awesome. But they typically make a chabura, they often make a chabura. While kirtzuf is gedolim, big teeth, it's a wooden comb. Big teeth, they don't normally make a chabur. The Gim Machlokes B'Davar, we have three separate views expressed in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Sovar, Dovish Ein Mischaven is Osir. That's the famous Machlokes throughout Chas. Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says, Dovish Ein Mischaven Osir. Do I want to make a chabur in this animal? Chas v'shalom. I want this animal just to go and... The reason why I'm combing it is presumably to get out all the schmutz and to get out the bugs and whatever accumulates on the mane or the back of the animals. But I don't want to make a chabura. It's Dovashen Mischavin. So if you know Dovashen Mischavin is Osir. Meal. Kirud Ketanim be Oysim Chabura. The Ketanim make a Chabura. The Akirtz of Dovashen be Oysim Chabura. They don't make a Chabura. Maybe I should make a gzeira. But like Gozriman, kirtzuf otu kirut. I'm not goizer one type of comb for the other type of comb. So therefore, that's Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. That was the Yovei Kosev Ashlishi. Kirut is also because it makes a chabura. The kirtzuf doesn't make a chabura. It's fine. Rabbanan Sami Namik Rabbi Yehuda. Tovish Enim Eschavin is asur. But they go one step further. The Gozriman, kirtzuf otu kirut. So just like kirut is asur, it makes a chabura, even though kirtzuf doesn't make a chabura. But most people, you tell them you can comb with one. Come on, give me a break. This I can comb with. This I can't comb with. Come on, it doesn't make sense. So therefore, loy plug, they assert all types of combings, whether it's a metal or whether it's wood, whether it's big teeth, whether it's small teeth. It's all awesome. Rav Blozman is arguing with the Krip Shimon. The Amatamashin Mischavin is mutter. And therefore, Ben Kirud, Ben Kirtzav is shari. And it's at this point where Rashi says that it's only that it's matzui, not that it happens all the time. Because as we know, even Reb Shimon that holds Dovish Einim Mischavin as mutter, that's when there's no psikresha. But if it's definitely going to happen, even Reb Shimon holds that it's osur. Septuagint, it's not a psikresha, it just happens most of the time. If you look at Reb Lozer Sovar, about six lines from the bottom of the Amid, Reb Lozer Sovar, in Rashi, Hoyu ve'ein mischavin lechabura, aval gav dezimnin to misrami, sometimes it happens. He doesn't even say it happens frequently. It happens zimnin, sometimes it happens. Shari. So when the Gemara said before, it's oisin chabura, it's not that it makes a chabura every single time. It happens, misrami, zimnin misrami, it happens 10%, 25%, 30% of the time. It happens, since the Tavashin Mischavin is mutter, both kirud and kirtzuf.
Why can't you do this on Yom Tov? I don't understand. What's
because you make mechabur, you're not making
mechabur. No, I know why you can't do it. I mean, why could you? What do you have to do it for?
Why? It's what's the benefit?
Yeah, what's eichel nefesh? What's going on?
It's a tzorich Yom Tov. What's a tzorich Yom Tov?
Yeah.
These animals, why do you do combing in the first place? I'm assuming you don't do it lanoi just to make it look presentable, like people comb the hairs. I'm assuming because bugs get in there and schmutz gets in there,
okay,
and that could go and cause an infection, or it could cause the animal to get diseased. So they do that for preventive purposes. Omrav, Omrav Nachman, Omrav Shmuel, V'amrilo, Omrav Nachman, L'chudei. Halacha Krib Shimon, we pass on like Krib Shimon, the Dover She'ein and Mischavin is Mutter, Sher Reb Loz Ben Azariah Moidaleh. Reb Loz Ben Azariah agrees to Reb Shimon, like we see in our Mishnah. Reb Loz Ben Azariah paskin that Kirud and Kirtzuf are both Mutter. Obviously holds like Reb Shimon, Dover She'ein and Mischavin is Mutter. Freit the Yomara, Omli Rav Lerav Nachman, V'lei Memar Halacha Krib Yehuda, Sher Yechachom and Moidim Lai. If you are trying to add up the number of people on each side and say, I pass on like Reb Shimon, plus Ben Azariah on his side, I got two great Tanoim. Look on the other side of the equation. Say the halachas Reb Yehuda, the Dovashin Mischavin is Asur. Shari Chacham Moidim Lai, the Chacham agreed to Reb Yehuda, and they even go one step beyond Reb Yehuda. They say that on Goizer, Kirtzuf Otu Kirud. Amalei said, you're right. In terms of two against two, or Chacham, of course, are much more than just two against two. You have all the Chacham. Whichever, we don't know how many, but it's obviously the Das HaRab. What I meant to say is, says Rav Nachman, Amalei, Anor Kereb Shimon Tzvili. I hold Kolotei Rekul Elochus Kereb Shimon Dovashen Mischavin is Mutter. What I wanted to emphasize is that it's not just this lone Shita of Reb Shimon, but Oicher Reb Loz Ben Azariah Moed later. He has a good accomplice, he has a good companion, that Reb Loz Ben Azariah, he also holds the same thing, and therefore I feel that Reb Shimon is really right. And we have the benefit of the support of the great Reb Loz Ben Azariah as well. Okay, on to the Amud Beis, Zog the Mishnah. Since we started talking about the Rechaim Shel Pilpilin, we go off on a tangent a little bit to the inyan of Tumah V'Tahara. And as you know, any kli which has a base kibble, any kli which is made out of matchis doesn't even need a kli kibble. It automatically is susceptible to tumah. On the other hand, if you have a kli eitz, it has to have a base kibble, like Rebbe Tzion Adam spoke so beautifully last night, the different halachas legabi the schach, whether you can use ladders or not, is that considered to be a base kibble made out of wood? I'm sure you remember that Rebbe Tzion. It was a delightful, beautiful shir. Shkoyach Rebbeinich for arranging for it. But getting back to our Mishnah, now we're talking about the Rechaim Shel Pilpilin. This is the hand mill that you're using to go and grind and pound the pepper during the week, and according to Blazbe Menazaria, even on Yontif. There are three components to it that can become tame. Normally, when you're talking about shivrei kelim, when kelim break, then they can lose their status of tumah by the fact that they're no longer kelim. It's just shvarim. It's just headed for the trash bin. Our Gemara is telling us is, if you were to dismantle the Rechayim, you'll find that it has three components. Each component on its own is a full-fledged kli, and therefore each one can be mekabel tumah. So even though you dismantled, it's not a shever kli. No, no. These are three full-fledged kelim, which you merge together to form a hand mill, but you can dismantle, and each one is still a kli. And explains the Mishnah, Harechayim shel pilpilin tumeya, Mishum Shloisha Kalim. In other words, there are three possibilities of Kabbalah's Tumah in this Rechaim, because each one of the three Kalim is susceptible to receiving Tumah. What are the three Kalim? Mishum Kli Kibul, or Mishum Kli Matchis, or Mishum Kli Kavra. So Rashi explains how these three are, but first let's see the Gemara and then we'll explain them together. So Gemara, Tona, Tachtoina Mishum Kli Kibul, Emtois Mishum Kli Kavra, Elyoina Mishum Kli Matchis. So what's going on over here is you have essentially a mortar and pestle. The pestle, I believe, is the Stoiser. That's the one that you use for the pounding and the grinding. So that is the upper part of the Kli. Rashi said that even if that upper part is made out of wood, and therefore it's a zohar, not a nekeva, it's not a kli kibul. However, at the end, on the bottom of that wood, there's typically a piece of metal that is attached, presumably to help out in the pounding and in the grinding. And the eighth part of this pestle is going to become also susceptible to tumah, because it's going to become bottled to the matchis, to the metal which is attached to it. That's the Elyoina part. That's what the Gemara calls Elyoina Mishim Kli Matchis. Then you have the Emtois, is the middle part. The middle part is that after you are pounding on the pilpul, on the pepper, then the pepper, which was until now a peppercorn, which was a hard substance, by pounding and grinding it, it becomes a powder-like substance, and it goes through the sieve, and that's the kavra in the middle, goes through that kavra, that's the middle kli, and then when it settles on the bottom, after it goes through the sieve, it goes into the kli kibble, that is the receptacle at the bottom, that's the mortar. So therefore you have the three different sections. You have the pounder on top, you have the sieve in the middle, and you have the receptacle on the bottom that receives the dust, the avka, that's the powder of the pilpul, that's the pepper powder. So let's see quickly, the Rashi explains it much better than I do. If you look, starting with Gemara, on the third line, says Rashi, Tachtoina, Shemekabelis Avak HaPilpilin, it accepts, it receives the Avak, the powder of the pilpul of the pepper, Kishenoifel Derech Nikvi HaMechba, once it goes through the holes in the sieve, so it settles in that Kli Kibul. So the Tar Tachtoina Mishim Kli Kibul, even though it's a Kli Eitz, but a Kli Eitz, Yesh Lebeis Kibul Hu, it's Mekabel Tomah. So that's one Kli. Then you have the Amtois. She makefes es hamichbor mishum kli eitz loy metama the enki bula kibul el cham gozru tuma ala kavra mishum orug. What's going on over here? The kavra is the sieve. The sieve, by definition, of course, has these small little holes in it, and therefore this small little hole is reminiscent of begodim, particularly that women wear, that would have little holes like a netting, and this netting you are putting over the kli kibul on the bottom. You're covering it over by stretching it like a beged, and now as a result, it acts like a sieve because it has these little holes, and so the powder goes through the holes and it settles in the clay kibble down below. So explains Rashi that even though it's a kli eitz, and it's not a kli kibble, because after all it has the holes in it, it's osir, not osir, it becomes tamei midrabanan, it's a gzeira, goes through tuma lakavra, mishim orug. Orug means like a beged, which is orug, which is woven. All begodim are susceptible to tuma, like you have very often in the parsha, if I have a zav or a zav, a metzoyra, it says, v'chib is begodav, so begodim are susceptible to tuma. So just like the begodim are woven, and the weaving has in it tiny little holes, particularly if you're making it in such a way that you see the holes, but even if you don't see the holes, if you look under the microscope, you can see the little holes, the weaving between the horizontal and the vertical, or the warp and the woof, as they call it. Even though it's not metal. Ours, meaning modern day mills, says Rashi, that we have in our times, those are made out of metal. Then I don't have to come on to it, because it's made out of eight, but it looks like a beggar because it's woven and it has the holes. No. Ours are made out of metal. Then about it's tam nidir ice. The alyoina, that's the top part, shemachachin v'shoichin boha pilpulin, that's the one that you use to go and pound and to grind up the pilpul, the pepper, tmeyim mishum kli matchas. The mishum kli eitz leka tmuye, if it was only a kli eitz, I couldn't be metamid, the pshutayim tahoyrim. That's like the Gemara we had in Masechta Sukkah, that if they happen to be zechorim, if there's no clay kibble whatsoever, then it's pshutay kli eitz, it's tar. And mishum tzipaya tachtoin, oh, underneath the pestle that you're using for the pounding and the grinding, even though the pestle itself is made out of wood, but the bottom part has on it a tzipoy, a covering, a plating of metal. Shu ikr, that's the ikr. Even though 95% of this pestle may be made out of eight, and only 2% on the bottom is made out of the metal, but that's the ikr, because that's what causes the peppercorns to be ground into small pepper powder. So therefore, all three of them are susceptible to the din of Kabbalah's Tumah. That's what the Mishnah is telling us. And we go on to the next Mishnah. Dr. Mishnah Bait. Agolishol Kotni. Tumeya Medris, Benitelis Bishabas, Vein Negreris Ela Algabi Kalim. An agola is a wagon, and we're talking about a toy wagon that belongs to children. Like we have in the bungalow colony, you have the children very often have these little wagons, and they drag them, and they sit on them, and they pull them, and they pull other children in them. Givalik. So what's the din by these agola shokan? Tumeya medris. They are susceptible to tumas medris. As you know, tumas medris means that when they have a zov or a zava, a nida, etc., sitting down on a chair, or lying on a bed, then that chair or that bed can get a din of tumas medris. Tumas medris is a very, very chomer dikah tuma, because normally if you would have a zava zava touching a bed, they have the status of an avat tuma. By touching the bed becomes a vlad or a rishon tuma. But by sitting or lying on the bed, then the bed itself becomes the same tumas avat tuma like the zav or zava themselves. Moreover, the Gemara tells us elsewhere, even if you have 10 layers, 10 mattresses, 10 sheets, 10 blankets, one on top of the other, and the Zav or Zav are lying on the 10th one all the way on top, even the bottom one down below gets the din of a Tumas Medris, of an Avatumah, and everything, of course, is either based on Psukim or Halacha L'Moish Misinai. So anyways, our Mishnah tells us the Agola, these wagons that the children use, can also become Tumeya Medris. Rashi points out, since an adult wouldn't and couldn't sit on such a wagon, it's made for children. We're talking about a situation if the child were to become a zav. Of course, this doesn't happen every day of the week. But if that were to occur, then when the child sits on it, this becomes a medrash. Just like when an adult who's a zav causes his or her chair or bed or wagon or whatever to become tummy because they sit there. So the cotton, if he becomes a zav, also causes there to be tumma. You're going to go and say that tumas medris is only on those things which are miyuchad li yeshiva and not those types of things that we say, amoid v'nasa machtenu, get up, we want to use this. here the agola is meant for children to sit on. So that's exactly what it's miyuchad for. So therefore it has a din of tumas matters. Then he tells us b'shabbos. And you're also, the children can go and play with it and pull it on Shabbos. And there's no problem because it has a toiris kli. So it's a kli shemalachto leheter. There's no isser involved. So you're allowed to go and take it on Shabbos. It's not mukta. But be careful of one thing. Vein negreris ella al gabi kalim. Just like a car or a big wagon for adults, this wagon, if you're going to go and drag it on the grass, guess what? Or on the ground, it's going to make grooves in the grass, and that's going to be a potential problem of choresh, of plowing the field, because it plows through it by making these furrows, by making these grooves. So you know what you got to do? Go and schlep it, and the children want to schlep it on the ground, put previously on the ground begodim, or fabric. The word kelim over here doesn't mean kelim in the traditional sense. It means kelim by putting out begodim, put down long fabric. And now when they're going to go and schlep it, it's not going to go on the ground itself. It's going to go on the fabric, and it won't make those furrows. It won't make the grooves. It won't have a problem of choresh. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol kelim ein migror, chutz min agolim neishu koveshes. Agol is different. When you're talking about a large kli, like if you're schlepping a large bench, or a car, for instance, on Shabbos, of course, that makes real grooves in the ground, because that's nice and heavy. The agola is so lightweight, it doesn't cause grooves. And even though when I look afterwards, when the wagon went through, I see there are, it looks like the ground has settled. That's what it calls kveshes. Kveshes means it doesn't plow through it and cause the offer to move out of place. No offer is displaced. All the offer remains exactly the way it was. It's just settled a little bit down. If you look at the Rashi of Nisha Kuveshes, it's Rashi about 10 lines before the end of the Perek. Rashi of Nisha Kuveshes. Charitz hanir bihilucha, even though when you see the wagon traveling, you see a charitz, you see like grooves in the ground. Loi al yidei chafirahi. This is not as a result of digging, ele kveshes, kveshes means to give a kvetch. It could very well be that the word kvetch and kveshes are etymologically from the same shoresh. You're kvetching it, it means you're squeezing it, you're kovesh. V'doyreses ha'karka, v'nidosh tachteho, v'nase mekoima nomuch. Yes, it's lower than the part where the wagon did not travel. But avol einu zoz ofer mimkoyma. The defining quality of choresh is that you have moved or displaced the earth by doing a charisha. That's the whole purpose of plowing your field, to move the earth out, to be able to put the seeds in and then put the earth back together. Here the earth remains exactly in place. It's just you've squeezed it down, you've pounded it down a little bit into the ground, but not more than that. So therefore it's not a total choresh, and you don't need to put the beged on the ground. It's mutter without any props. Zokti Gemara, we started off agol shel cotton to make a medrash. Why? Does samach ilavei? Because the cotton will support himself on this agola, either by leaning against it or sitting in it, and therefore it's a standard normal case of a medrash of someone sitting or leaning or lying on something which is miyuchad for that purpose. So if the cotton were to be a zav, he'd be metame this agola to us medrash. Then he tells us b'shabbos mishum dikatoris kli alav. It's not any wood. It's not mukta because it's a kli like any other kli. Just like you're allowed to move dishes and you're allowed to go and move your chair and your table, it's a keli. It's also a keli. Meaning the greatest el al gabi kelim. It's got to be on begodim, on fabric. Al gabi kelim in al gabi karka loy. What's the problem in doing it on karka? Remember, this is the Tanakama of our mission. It says it has to be dafka on the begodim. What's the reason why? Might have to call it chritz, because it's making a groove in the ground and it's a tolded the choresh. Mani, who's concerned with this possible iser? Reb Yehudi, the Amadav Hashem Mischavet is awesome. As the Gemara is going to bring in another moment, what happens if you find in shul there's a big kiddush that Shabbos, and you find that there are not enough benches in shul for all the guests, so you have some benches in the backyard, you open the back doors to the shul to schlep some of those benches, and the benches are making a groove in the dirt of the backyard. Is that permissible? Machlek is Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Shimon Mischavin is awesome. I didn't want to make the grooves. You think I want to go and plant tomatoes in that backyard? I'm just schlepping the bench because of all the guests that came for Shabbos. The Rabbi Shimon Mischavin, that's awesome. Same thing is, that's why when you schlep this wagon, put it on a beged, so it shouldn't make charitim. It's asur. Could Reb Shimon, Reb Shimon says, what's the problem? I want to make grooves. The Sanya, the famous machlokes, Reb Shimon Omer, goyer odem mita, kisei misafso. You're allowed to go and schlep an extra bed, an extra chair, an extra bench on a dirt road or on a dirt floor. Make sure that that's not your kavanah. If your kavanah is to make a charitz, you got a problem. But if you say, I don't want to make charitz, and I just want to schlep the bench, no problem. So kum techois, the Tanakam of our mission, that says, make sure to go and put out that fabric, that's Rabbi Huda, that's a dovish enim eschavin, is awesome. Put the fabric down, so it shouldn't make holes, shouldn't make grooves. But look, enim eseifa, Rabbi Huda, oimer eina koil, nikrorin bishabis. Other things you can't schlep, like the mita kisei v'safsol, chutz v'na golub, that golub you allow to m'mneishi kveshes, because it only kveshes the earth. It doesn't make a groove. M'mneishi kveshes in abachritz loy. Kum d'chois, loy avda. So I have no astira. The Tanakam of the Mishnah that says you're not allowed to schlep it unless you have the begodim, that's Rabbi Yehuda. And the one that says that you can schlep it even without begodim, that's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, make up your mind. Are you allowed to go and schlep these dafk on begodim, or is it not necessary? It's chastira in the Mishnah between the Tanakam, who's Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda, who's Rabbi Yehuda. After the Martyrate, tonight, I'll leave Rabbi Yehuda. There was a machloikis between the Talmidim of Rabbi Yehuda. What did the Rebbe really hold? Everybody holds that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Dovish Ein Mischavin is awesome. The question is, what did Rabbi Yehuda hold by toy wagons, children's wagons? Do they make real grooves, and therefore Dovish Ein Mischavin is awesome? Or is it only koveshes, and therefore it's mutter? It's a machlokes tanoim, what Rabbi Yehuda really held. Ham lachyontiv, lachyontiv, lachyontiv. And we continue on. Ain't some dogma did remitchim to be continued tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock. Rabbi Say, have a good moyed.
Should we start 10 to 7 tomorrow? Should we start 10 to 7 tomorrow? So if this is